Welcome to the Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. What is synergy? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. Yeah, the sum is greater than the total of its parts. Okay, so what is that about people? When it comes to people, individually, we are very powerful forces. We have a heart and a body and a mind. When we come together, we combine to create something exponentially more powerful than what we are when we're alone. We were meant to be together. Yeah, that's a pretty heavy thought. That's a very profound concept, and it's a huge responsibility. We have an energy that is the fuel to everything that we do. That's our thoughts and our feelings. We have a physical force. There really is not any question about that. How we define it, the words that we use may vary from person to person. But when it comes right down to it, we know our energy that is the source of our actions is really what it's about. And I've always told my clients, even my friends, there is no neutral energy. That means it's either positive or negative. That's important to remember too, because performance is not an issue for humans. We're able to do just about anything we want to do, whatever we put our mind to. But the quality of our energy is going to determine whether the effects of the actions that we take are positive or negative. Okay, so keep that in mind just as a principle of human behavior and social responsibility. Because when I talk about synergy, I'm talking about the organic nature of who and what we are as people. Okay, a big thing that I love to do is personality profiling. When we know what we naturally are, yes, I believe you are born with a personality, we can cooperate with nature. We are given gifts and talents and strengths and abilities. Before we're even born, we are being built and edified inside of the womb. And we have a huge power of functionality. The minute we come out into the world, we have a way to be successful before we're even taught how to do it. Because nature has an amazing way to make sure that everything that needs to get done in the world will get done. Who it's done by, when and how and where it's done. Yeah, nature has a really good way of doing that too. I call it God. Okay, not everybody believes in a higher power per se. Sometimes they're atheist. Some people are agnostic. They say, well, you know what? I know there's something. I just don't know exactly what it is. But even scientists can say, yes, there has been a clear display of what the world needs and how the world provides it in a beautiful way. So when you think about what you have the capacity to do and be, and the opportunity that you have to cooperate with whatever it is that you truly are inside, that's kind of exciting, right? And a lot of people have taken different personality tests because they want to know what their gifts and talents and strengths and abilities are. Okay, well, the one that I like to do is called Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, MBTI. And it is world-renowned because it is so accurate and consistently informative. Well, someone important in my life is really going full force at that. They want to know more and they want to understand it. And well, they're taking kind of an alternate route, but still applying the principles and employing the tools that MBTI provides. Well, one of the struggles that this person is having is basing the results on what people do. When they're asking the person questions, they say, okay, so what is it that you currently do in your life? Okay, that's a good start. But the only problem, the glitch that you could come into with that is people don't always do what is their true nature. So one of the things that I tell people is, okay, now, not based on what you consistently do in your current daily life activities, let's actually ask the question from this perspective. What would you naturally do if you were left alone, if you didn't have people and things demanding your performance? Since humans can do everything, all we have to do is be taught, rewarded, instructed, maintained, kind of managed. If you are left alone and appreciated for who you truly are, what would you do? Well, some people literally say, I don't understand the question because I've never had the time to know that about myself on a conscientious level. Because your body and your heart and your mind are telling you all the time. But if you genuinely don't know in a consciously aware, mindful way, okay, so then let's put it this way. What, you can ask yourself, what is enjoyable for you to do? Yeah, what brings you genuine pleasure? What's naturally easy for you to do? Well, and other people have to put forth some effort, just it's very easy for you. And what can you do that's well done, that it's easy, and every time you do it, you give an impressive and high quality product or service upon performing that task? Okay, now make sure your awareness, do you even have the understanding of life and yourself to be able to say, I'm going to take an inventory of my life. I'm going to think about all of the things that I do. Well, I'm going to think about the things that I do on a daily basis. What are my activities and how many of them am I genuinely good at? How many of them are easy for me? How many of them bring me genuine personal pleasure? Okay, I was thinking there are times when I actually have to tell people, let's think of an activity that is something that everybody can relate to. It's tough to figure out one that all people can relate to, that everybody understands really as just a daily functional activity. I came up with one. I actually had an experience recently and I thought, oh my goodness, this is the perfect activity to use as an example because everybody has either experienced it themselves or heard someone else describe it to them. I worked at a temp agency and I had to do baggage check for a sporting event. Literally the security check. Everybody knows what it's like at the airport because most everybody has flown somewhere, let's say even in the last 5 years. It has changed, but it's a pretty simple concept. You go through a process where they take your bag and they either look at it or they with their own eyes, or they put it on a conveyor belt and have a special machine that will do the examination, really looking like x-ray into the bag. And they see, well, you know what? This is a suspicious item. I can't really do this. We need to check it out, take it out and have a look-see. We might even need to confiscate it. Okay. Now there are four different activities that the MBTI personality profile takes into consideration in order to determine your true nature, your personality. There are the social orientations of people. You're either introvert or extrovert. There is your general focus. You're either externally inclined as a sensor or you're internally inclined as an intuitive. There's how you make decisions. You're either a thinker or a feeler. And then there's how you carry out the decisions that you've made. You're either a perceiver or a judger. Okay, so thinking about this activity, what some of them basically said was, we're only going to send a few through the conveyor belt, the company that hired me. We're only going to send a few. What we're actually going to do is look, just literally have them open up their bag and look into it. But the bag has to be clear. If the bag is not clear, we either take it away from them or tell them to send it back to their car. Okay, so sensing, now as a real quick overview, if you want more detailed information, you can listen to one of my previous shows. They've all been archived. I've had shows where I literally just went into the very specific details. But as a quick overview, sensing is looking at and for very specific physical things. We've got five senses. Okay, they're always on, even when we're asleep. We're hearing and smelling and seeing and touching and tasting, feeling things, sensing things, yeah, that are external. Then there's intuition. That's our mind taking all of those individual facts that our senses are providing and putting them together kind of behind the scenes to create complete concepts and ideas. They're both going on at all times. The question is, which one do you prefer? Then there is the thinking that's making the decision to, you know what, I'm going to make this a logical and rational decision. Then there's feeling, establishing trust with people, taking care of them, being empathetic. Yeah, when you make a decision, it would be nice if all things that are logical and rational made people feel good emotionally. But when they don't, which one are you more focused on? Doing what's intelligent, logical, and rational, or doing what's empathetic and loving and sensitive and kind? You're either a thinker or you're a feeler. Yes, you do both. Again, everybody has to be sensing at some time. Everybody has to be intuitive at some time. Everybody has to do thinking things at some time. And you know what? Everyone has to be feeling in certain situations. Which one are you more? That's an important thing to be able to know about yourself, because again, your life may have told you that you're going to do better. You're going to have a better success rate. You are going to have better results just in general in your life and with the people. If you perform one task more than the other, it might not genuinely be who you truly are. So again, let me go ahead and just give a real quick once over before we go to our first break. If you're wondering about whether you're sensing or intuitive, a sensor would say, you know what, a tangible experience is better than an abstract one, even if it's a bad experience. Yes, that food looks absolutely horrible. I'm going to take a bite to see how horrible it is. You're a sensor. If you say, you know what, I'm okay not knowing. I'm imagining how bad it would be, and the imagination of the possibility of what I'm pretty sure it's going to be, that's good enough for me. Another question I like to ask people, you know what, do you get lost walking around the block? Yeah, intuitives do. They may even be looking at something in the cupboard and not see it. Sensors, they remember everything, and they are very clear and comfortable with what they have. Okay, then there's the making decisions. Are you a thinker or a feeler? The real quick question is, you know what, how important is it to you to make people happy? Well, you know what, if you're a feeler, you really genuinely feel pain and empathy when other people are suffering. No, a thinker says it's more important to do something that makes sense and that's logical and rational. Pain is just a part of life. You swallow it and you move on. Well, okay, another thing, a real big indicator is, do you neglect yourself for other people? Is being happy in their own life a reason for you to justify, making a sacrifice and even doing potential damage to yourself? Think about those things. We're going to go ahead and take our first break, and we're going to get into a little bit more detail about personality and your true nature when we come back. But think again, you want to cooperate with nature to create a power that do something with your synergy when you come together with people. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Now, before we get into more details about sensing and intuition and thinking and feeling, which are things that everybody has to do in their life at some point, in some way, because life demands that everybody does everything. When you think about your personality, it's not a question of what you currently do, because you might not currently be doing what is your true nature. So let's go ahead and put those different elements to the side and ask a different question. What are the four levels of functionality? There's dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, and inferior functions. Some things, like your dominant activity, are like breathing. Other things, like your auxiliary level activities, are like eating. Your tertiary level activities are doing them are like walking for you. And then your inferior level of functionality, it's like running for you. Yeah, you can walk. Yeah, you can run. Those are things that just because life demands that they be done, you learn how to do them and you do them. The question is, how much should you be doing those things? Okay, so what I like to tell people is just to confirm, your dominant activity should be about 8 hours a day because, like breathing, you're harmed if you stop doing it for too long. It's something that happens naturally. You're good at it. You enjoy doing it. And it's easy for you. Okay, well, your auxiliary function, well, you don't do it automatically. So you need motivation to do it. You need to do it for 3 to 4 hours a day. That's 25 to 30% as opposed to 50%. You need to do it to survive. You just don't have to do it all the time. Okay, well, your tertiary function, that's one of the things that it's not in your personality to do. But like walking, it's good to do, just not for too long. You shouldn't do it for more than 15 to 20% of your day. That's 2 to 3 hours a day. But that you need motivation and compensation to do it. And then your inferior function, you need motivation and compensation and restoration because it's like running. You shouldn't do it for more than 1 to 2 hours a day. Okay, so all of those things, the dominant, auxiliary, tertiary, and inferior functions. Two of the letters of your personality are the dominant and auxiliary. The other two letters that are not your personality are your tertiary and inferior. Okay, so keep that in mind. What specifically are the different functions differences? And I want just to tell people before I get to this part, I don't get sick and I never take medication. I do not take drugs, even pharmaceutical medication drugs, because I keep those proportions of those activities. Those are things that keep me healthy. I sleep well and I feel good because I have energy, because I don't do things that are not my nature. Okay, so now everybody, again, this is my favorite one to talk to people about. Yeah, well, I'm an introvert and an extrovert. No, you're not. You do things in an introverted way. You do things in an extroverted way. And again, if you want a lot of the detail, go ahead through the archives and just listen to one of my shows when I go into real detail. But what I like to do to keep it kind of simple and easily understandable, okay, sensing, bottom line, being stimulated by everything that's tangible and gratifying to you in your extroverted world. Well, yeah, your external world, you can be introvertedly sensing. Introverted just means alone or with one person that you feel very close to. Extroverted sensing means in a socially interactive way, being stimulated by everything that's tangible and gratifying around you. Okay, introverted sensing is being stimulated alone. Extroverted sensing is being stimulated in a social setting. Okay, so then intuition. Well, being introverted intuition is looking at everything that your sensing function is giving you as a part of a bigger picture, putting those individual pieces together. Well, if you're doing it in an introverted way, you're reflecting on those things and assembling those pieces alone. If you're intuiting in an extroverted way, you're being socially interactive to support the public harmony, the well-being of humanity with other people. Putting the pieces that the sensing function has given you together in order to see the big picture for a great purpose. Introverted, you're doing it alone. Extroverted, you're doing it with people, probably a large group of people. You might not even know them. Okay, so what about thinking? Bottom line, thinking is about objectively preventing problems in a logical and rational way, doing things to solve problems and prevent problems through the basis of what makes the most sense on paper. Okay, well, you know what? Thinking introverted means doing it alone. Thinking extroverted means collaborating with people. But how about feeling? Well, you know what? Feeling is really important to take care of people, provide for them, attend to them, understand them, and support them. Well, if you're doing it in an introverted way, you're doing it in an intimate way, or even potentially from a distance. You don't want to be socially interactive. But if you're feeling an extroverted way, you're doing it in a large group of people, and you're doing it in a generous way with in a very social setting with a lot of energy for each one of those people. Okay, wow, that's important to know, thinking about the different activities. What do you do? You're going to be doing some things in an introverted way, some things in an extroverted way. Do you know yourself well enough to be able to say, this is what's really important to me? I do it very well. I'm very, very good at it. And it's enjoyable to me. Yeah. And it's easy. This is what's easiest for me to do because this is who I truly am. Okay. Who are you truly? Do you have enough time in your day to do the things that are truly natural to you? And when you're doing those things, do you feel confident that you will have all of the support and facilitation? You know what? I really do like thinking about what people are doing for me, with me, to me, around me, because I can say to them, what is this for you? Where does this fall? Is this on a dominant level for you? Is it auxiliary activity? Is it tertiary or is it inferior? Okay, well, when we're talking about things like baggage check, there are different things that people need when you're performing this activity. What do they need for you, from you, I should say, as this kind of security guard? They need your protection. They need your help. They need your support. But the sensing is literally looking at the bag, understanding what's inside and being able to see, look, I can't even open the bag. They have to open it for me. Can I be very aware of all the things that I'm looking at? Okay, that means you're sensory. Very good. Good job. But then there's the intuition part of it, which is, am I helping this person, as my fellow man, humankind, that by protecting them, what I'm doing might not be to their pleasure, but it serves a greater purpose of the general good of humanity. Well, thinking, when it comes to baggage check, thinking is about when I have to make a decision of, you know what, this doesn't look good. I'm going to have to call you out on something that seems suspicious to me. And I have to follow policy and procedure. Wow, this is a crime prevention service. Okay, but how about feeling? Which is, I'm really sorry and empathetic that you might not like this. And I really wish that I didn't have to do this. If it's upsetting you, I want you to know that I'm with you personally as I'm doing this, because I'm taking care of you in a way that shows that you are important to me. Okay, so introverted, extroverted. Yeah, okay, so let's go ahead and think about this. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more specifically about how much time you should spend doing those activities. In what way? In your current life, how much do you do that? Well, think about these different things. When we come back, we're going to take a real quick break again. And if you have questions, we are going to open up the phone lines pretty soon. My name is Gabrielle Cardona, the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Now, today we're talking about your true nature, cooperating with your nature by employing the powers of your functions You have natural gifts and talents and strengths and abilities. Well, that might not currently be what you do in your daily life and activity. If you have a specific question about anything that I've talked about, go ahead and give us a call here at the radio station. The number is 888-627-6008. Now, when you're thinking about your functionality, keep in mind, again, we're going to review that. How many things in your life that you do are easy for you? How many of them are enjoyable for you? How many of them do you do well? Again, the only way to really know this is ask yourself, how many things do you need additional motivation just in order to get you to do them? How many of them do you need compensation for to justify that investment of your time or energy? How many of them do you need actual recovery time, restoration of yourself when you're done in order to keep going? The dominant one is like breathing. The auxiliary level is like eating. The tertiary level is like walking. And the inferior function is like running. Yes, everybody absolutely can do all of these things. But learning what activities genuinely qualify as your dominant function going through the day. I use the example of the baggage check. Yeah, you know what? When you're looking in the bag, you have to be able to say, I see not only everything inside the bag, but I see the person. That sensing, you have to be able to be aware. It's just actually an awareness of everything going on around you. And your intuition is being able to put all of the different pieces, the person and their body language and their behavior, as well as the package, the bag that they actually are carrying with them, all the items. Intuition is putting all of the pieces of the individual facts together to create the big picture, to make a judgment call. Then there's your thinking function, which is making an objective decision of what am I going to do with this person if there is a potential issue? Am I going to say, you know what, this isn't acceptable, and be able to enforce that or say, I want to see what this is. I understand it's going to make you unhappy. That's an executive kind of decision. That's a thinking decision. And the feeling function is establishing trust with people and supporting them with your empathy and understanding, because it's about taking care of them. Okay, so everybody can relate to that activity. But what about all the other activities you have to do that are, they don't have a sign on them, they don't have a sticker on them? This is a thinking function. This is an intuition function, because a lot of people actually confuse thinking and intuition. Yeah, intuition is a very thoughtful activity, but it doesn't qualify as thinking because that's not the making decision part of your daily activities in life. So what you need to do is just take care of yourself by saying, what are these things in my life qualifying as, paying attention and asking yourself, how much do you currently do? How much more should you do of your dominant function? Well, in order to do that, obviously, if you're not doing enough, that means you're doing too much of the other functions. You have to gradually increase the dominant and decrease the lower level activities proportionately. Okay. Again, the baggage check example, it's perfect for an ESTP, because an extroverted sensory thinking perceiver, their dominant function is sensing, and it's extrovertedly oriented, inclined to being with people, looking at everything and seeing everything and being verbally interactive. Okay, so out of 16 potential personalities, every single baggage check person should be an ESTP. Guess what? I'm an INTP, so that's not really my gig. How in the world am I going to do this for 4, 5, 6, 7, up to 8 hours a day without spontaneously bursting into flames and dying? Okay, this is the secret, ladies and gentlemen. This is how I stay healthy in life. If it's a lower level activity of sensing, you do it in a dominant functioning way. Yeah. Okay. So my tertiary is introverted sensing. Okay. Well, the other introverted activity I have is my thinking. So when I'm being sensory, I have to do it in a solitary way. I have to figure out a way to tell people, just a moment, give me a moment. I have to be inside of myself while I'm doing this. And if I'm doing it in a thinking way, which is everything that I'm looking at is for the purpose of making logical, rational decisions, that makes it easier for me to do for an extended period of time. If I should only be doing my tertiary function for 2 to 3 hours a day, I can do it for a longer period of time if I'm infusing my thinking function into the sensing activity. Okay, so let's give a couple of different examples besides myself. Another one that would have a hard time with that activity is an ENFJ, because their sensing is actually a tertiary function, but you know what? It's an extroverted activity. So the way that they have their sensing in an extroverted way is by infusing it into the feeling function, which is their dominant function. So if they're doing a sensing activity that's extroverted in a feeling way, they can have that sense of fulfillment and very practical, useful, humanitarian. That's what their dominant function is. They can do a lower level function if they're doing it in their dominant function way. Okay, well, you know what? What if you can't do that? That's not really an option. Okay, so well then how about do it for your higher functions reason? Okay, you know, doing it in the dominant function way, that's only once removed. Another way you can do it is for your higher function reason. That's twice removed. Okay, I'll give you a couple examples. And when you have it as your primary motivation, even if you can't do it in that in your nature's style, an example of that would be the INTJ. Well, you know what? Sensing is actually their inferior function. Oh my goodness, what in the world are they going to do? Their dominant function is intuition. That means their inferior function is sensing. Well, okay, their sensing is extrovertedly inclined. Their other extrovertedly inclined activity that is in their true nature is their auxiliary function of extroverted thinking. So when at least they're not able to do it for their intuitive reason, okay, but they can do it with their thinking reason. Okay, so if they're doing their extroverted sensing with their extroverted thinking, then they can continue to do their sensing activity for the thinking reason. Of, you know what, going through this process, this procedure, it's going to make logical, rational sense. You know what, when I make that thinking decision of, yeah, I have to pull something out of the bag, that will make their sensing feel more authentic for them. They're cooperating with their true nature. Another example would be an INFP. They have tertiary sensing. Oh, okay, but you know what? Since their sensing is actually introverted, their dominant function of introverted feeling could be the reason why they're doing it. They don't really want to do tertiary sensing, but if they're doing it for a feeling reason of, I love you, and so I'm going to take care of you. It's very important for me to do this activity. You know what? You don't want me to do it. I don't want to do it either, but I'm doing it because I genuinely love you. Okay, yeah. That helps them to keep going. Know yourself. Know how to keep yourself focused while you perform. Do something that's really your true nature and engage the functionality of who you are. People are going to appreciate that because it's going to be your authentic, natural, organic self, and you won't have to do other things to make yourself artificial. Okay, so we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll give you a chance to talk about other things if you have other questions, because we're going to be moving into kind of a more profound aspect of these functions when it comes to your true organic nature. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Now, the show this week is at a different time, so I realize a lot of my listeners are probably going to be listening to the archive of this show. I used to be Saturday mornings, now I'm Thursday afternoons, but the show is talking about a variety of different subjects under the topic of cooperating with nature and doing your functions as they are naturally occurring for you with your personality. Okay, and again, we're going to go ahead and let the listeners know if anybody has a question of anything that I have discussed so far. The number here at the radio station is 888-627-6008. Now, when I think about being healthy, yes, I say it's important to get 8 hours of sleep, at least seven, preferably 8 hours of sleep. But you know what? If it's not quality sleep, you're really not going to get the restoration from the rest that you need. How can you get quality tired? Well, you need to be doing things that are a good expenditure of your energy. You have to cooperate with your personality. But you know what? That's getting even more and more difficult because of this COVID pandemic. Everybody is afraid to do things, especially interactively. Well, if you're an extrovert and you need to be with people, being isolated is very toxic to you. Even if you don't get the COVID-19, if you don't get the virus, even if you don't get, you know what, I actually got COVID-19 and I had absolutely no symptoms. Because I am healthy and I tell people, look, here's the bottom line. I don't put synthetic things into my body. I don't get the shot. I don't give my kids the immunizations. I said, look, our bodies are very powerful. What we can do when we are healthy, the only way we can be healthy is by being high quality functionality. Find out your nature. Now, I like to tell people when I was a little girl, my parents divorced and it was tough only seeing my father every other weekend. Well, and sometimes special holidays or events. But you know what? I needed him all day every day. And so sometimes I literally had to request time to be with my dad. But something that happened when I don't even remember how old I first was, but it changed my life. We were on the phone and he could feel I was very desperate and alone in pain. And I was even angry. Actually, now that I think about it, I was even angry because I said, I want to be with you. How come the court says that I don't get to be with you? He kind of could make a real quick decision. It was a brilliant decision. He didn't say, I miss you too, sweetheart. He said, I miss your face. And I went, whoa. Okay. Wow. Okay. You know what? That wasn't just I miss you, because I miss you was generic and always cheap. To me, it felt cheap. When he said, I miss your face, that meant he missed my soul. It was like he appreciated that I was beautiful and that I was actually something that he wanted to experience being with me. And I went, wow, he loves me. He misses my soul. And okay, so now think about it too. When we don't have our faces that we can share with people, that we can show people, how much of our connection to each other is gone? We need to be emotionally close to people if we are going to be healthy. That's a very, very serious thought. Okay, but now think about this too. Since this pandemic has completely changed the world and people, physical touch, public displays of affection. When you are 6 feet away from someone, you can't hug them or kiss them. How important is that? Well, you know what? It's vital. Because when we have that contact, when we have that stimulation, do you know our skin is the largest organ of our body? That's a pretty big deal. We have to be stimulated. It's a way that we know what's going on. It's a way that we connect with each other, hugging and kissing and touching. You know what? I really do believe, too, that's another reason why I don't get sick. Yes, in a Mexican culture, I'm married to a Mexican, they shake hands, they hug, they kiss, but it's kind of perfunctory. When I kiss my kids, I kiss them on the lips with my parents. I do the same thing because I hug them. I press their body up to my body. And when you have skin contact, you have that stimulation. Chemicals are released in your brain. Yeah, that's very important to your overall health. It's psychology. It's the emotional. It is the physiological, but it's also a spiritual connection. When you can create a synergy with people based on a good emotional connection, that's what will help your health, your physical health. You know, that's another thing that I always tell people. When we have that space from each other, is it really good for us? Is being away from each other a good thing? Or is it just distance? And how suspicious are people now? Because when you can't be with someone, when you can't be close to them, how much do you really know about who they are? How much do they know about you? Look, who we are separately is very, very important. The things that I've described about your nature, about your personality, yeah, getting things done is absolutely vital to keeping the world running. But getting together to get things done, our power increases exponentially. How good is the quality of your power? Well, a lot of that's based on your emotional state. We are better when we are together. You know what? People don't want to get sick and die, so they just say, you know what, just give me the 6 foot distance. Okay. And you know what? The mask mandate is gone in a lot of places. Masks are optional, but it's just easier to keep your distance. You don't see people's faces. You can't even hear what they're going to say a lot of the time, because when you have something covering your face and you have to yell it out of your head, you know what? Introverts would rather not yell. If they have to yell in order to be heard, I don't really know what you said because I couldn't hear you. Never mind. I'll just go ahead and walk away. But the other thing that I really wanted to save a few minutes to talk about was how important is our voice? Not only what we say, but how we say it. Yeah, being heard is absolutely vital. How we express ourselves, that's the foundation of what we will have as a connection. Now, I like to use, there's intonation and inflection. Some people call it sense stress and modulation. That's your voice in how you express. One word can be said a number of different ways, right? An infinite number of different ways. Now, I use an example of two words, okay? That is, it's a question, but it only consists of two words. How many questions could those two words really be? An example I like to say is, would you? Okay, that's just two words, but it is a whole question. I'm going to say it several different ways and tell you, just give you the example of how many different things two words could be communicating. Okay, so let's start with this one. Would you? That's, I don't even care. There's, would you? Which is, I'm kind of surprised at the possibility. There's, would you? Which is, I know I sure as hell wouldn't. Then there's, would you? Which is, I don't know that I trust you as a person. Then there's, would you? Which is, I would really appreciate it if you did. Okay. That's really important. When you have a covering on your face, it's hard enough sometimes just to hear the words. But then when you can't hear the voice and your facial expressions are revealing what your heart and mind and body or your soul really is trying to convey, yeah, we really do need to create synergy with each other again. Doing what is your true nature of your personality is about 50% of it, because that's the foundation of what you're going to do getting together with each other, seeing each other, hearing each other is the other 50%, because that is going to determine the manifestation of your true nature. When you have that display, that is vital to your relationship. And I always tell my husband, it's really dangerous to be disconnected and detached. Well, what's the difference between disconnection or detachment? Well, you know what? Being detached is about other people. We don't have that attachment with other people. We don't have that closeness. Disconnection is cutting ourselves off internally from ourselves. It means you're suffocating yourself internally or externally. Yeah, they're both toxic. They're very scary. They're very dangerous, just in different ways and for different reasons. Ask yourself now, because of this pandemic, because of this unfortunate illness that has basically permeated, it's saturated the entire world, how disconnected are you from yourself? Because you have become detached from other people. How much of your true nature are you aware of? How much of what you do anymore is your true nature? Do you even know? Well, when you think about being connected to yourself again, this could be the opportunity that you need to say to yourself, yeah, I'm going to give myself permission to reconnect and figure out and identify and define to myself, be mindful of who and what I naturally am. My personality, my organic nature that I have, because the world needs me to be truly authentic in this way. What's easy for me, like breathing, what I naturally do well, like breathing, and what brings me pleasure. In fact, it creates displeasure in me if I stop doing it. I literally need to not stop doing it, like breathing. Wow. Sometimes people just need to take an inventory. And then if they get reconnected to their true nature, they can reattach to other people. You are never going to give anybody else anything better than what you give yourself first. Okay. When you reattach to people and you can say to them, I'm willing to accept your true nature because I appreciate the uniqueness of who you are, and I appreciate the value of what you do, not only in my personal life, but to everybody else in the world, because even if I'm not personally involved in what you're doing in that moment, what you are doing and what you are creating in the world that I will eventually manifest something in is important. There is no neutral energy. And everybody and everything has a responsibility and accountability. So getting back to, you know what, a lot of places are saying, go ahead, take your mask off if you want to. Ask yourself, am I truly at risk? Am I in danger of catching an illness? COVID-19 does not kill people. It triggers illnesses that were already there. And it just makes them exponentially worse. Ask yourself, am I willing to create a healthful world? Am I able to reconnect with people because I am connected to myself and I want to make the world a more healthy place? With all of the sensing activities that we have in our lives as humans, yeah, we have an amazing power to either do good or do bad. And unfortunately, a lot of people, they just have the attitude now, well, you know what? It's not my problem. I don't care. But it is. It is our problem, because if we are not making things better, our indifference is making it worse. The only way a person can genuinely become indifferent is if they have disconnected. So maybe you could go ahead and take an inventory of how much of your day, how much of your life are you disconnected? How much are you detached? And from who? And when? And why? Do you really think you're doing any good by creating distance and suspicion between yourself and other people? And one of the things I also like to say too, touching is very powerful in a good way, but so is laughter. How often do we laugh when we're behind a mask, when we're suspicious of people, when we're defensive, when we're paranoid about getting sick? When you have the good, healthy balance of activity of your true nature, you laugh more often. Those are four chemicals that are released into your brain: the dopamine, the oxytocin, the serotonin, and the endorphins. Yeah, you're going to do that more when you connect with people, because they are the things that will make you laugh. The only time you do it in your own head is usually if you have a mental illness, right? There's got to be something there. And when people laugh with each other, they create a synergy that is a motivational force in their life. So when you know what function the activity that you're doing qualifies as, you can say, okay, now am I doing enough of my dominant function, 50%, my auxiliary function, 25%, my tertiary function, 15% on average, and my inferior function, only 5%, maybe up to 10% of my day. Do I make enough time for myself to do all of these things to keep myself healthy? And then, you know what? Ask yourself, can you either get rid of the activities in your life, just adjust your life to make yourself more healthful in an organic to your personality way? Well, if not, just because your circumstances don't give you that luxury, then you know what? Go ahead and do it for your personality's reason or in your personality's way. Well, you know what? Maybe easier said than done. So what I've decided to do, just because I may have new listeners at this time, and because this is a topic that I'm going to be getting more and more deep into and in more detail with, I'm going to go ahead and offer a 75% discount on all functionality personality profiles. You know what? 75% is a discount. Yes, ordinarily I would say I'll give it to you for free. But I've noticed that some people, especially in this changing economy, they're a little paranoid about spending their money. And they're very suspicious about anything that happens on the computer, on the telephone. Yeah, the fact is it's a very important piece of information, but you need to appreciate it and you need to really want it. So usually I charge $300 because you get a coaching session. No, well, okay, well, just the test itself is $200. A 75% discount is $50. If you want to know your functional order, first of all, of your personality, you will get that. You will also get the general overall description. You'll also get the disposition. And I'll go ahead and explain to you what your daily life activities qualify as, because you might be able to say, well, this is a thinking activity, but it's actually an intuitive function. And if you're saying, I don't really know if it's introverted or extroverted, it's hard for me to understand that, I will answer those questions for you as well. It is important for you to be able to say, what I create with people when I come together with them is not only real and organic, it's very sincere and it's positive energy. When I am doing it, could I laugh with the people that I'm doing it with because I'm relaxed and healthy and happy enough with my lifestyle? Only you know when you're being honest with yourself. But if you want that, I'll go ahead and give you that 75% discount. And you can share that information with any one of your friends and family members. They might want that. They might need it. Let me know. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. Thank you so much for listening to this show today. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio.